Hello.
Hi, everybody.
This is Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis. I think we're early.
Yeah, I believe so. Where are you?
Texas.
What part?
In Wiley, near Plano, near Dallas.
Okay. I'm in Lee City, near between Houston and Galveston.
Oh, well, hello, neighbor.
Yeah. So are you a coach now?
I'm actually going to help Dave sell classes in the Dallas area for coaches.
Really? Did you go to school at Coach Lyons?
I actually worked for Dave for a few years at XO.
Huh.
I'm at Verizon now, but...
Well, how neat.
Yeah.
Does he do workshops,
yes,
you know, in person, yes, in parts of the country?
Yes. For different businesses, yeah.
Hmm.
So he's looking to expand.
Well, I'm just really interested in using this in groups.
Most definitely. Fascinating.
Well, it really is. And several years ago, probably 8 years ago, we did it on our, and there was no follow through, and so it was basically useless.
Right.
And so I just think it could be such a tremendous tool with a staff. That's kind of my goal.
Good one. Joining.
Yeah, we're all out here somewhere.
Your yellow lab is on the call.
Good evening, everybody.
Oh,
good evening.
Good evening.
Hopefully, trust me, all had a great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Let's see who we have present here. Do we have Kevin?
Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. And Francis?
Yes, here. I'm here.
Very good. And Shelley. See if I wouldn't be here tonight. Selena. How about Michelle? Kadushin? No? David.
Hi, Dave.
There you go. And Phyllis.
Yes.
Good. And Gary.
Here, Dave.
Good. Ida.
Yes, I'm here.
Good. And Ronaldo.
Here.
James. Deborah Galley. Tanya. Lynette. Wow. Deb Gilchrist.
I'm here.
Ron.
Hello.
Robin. Lonnie.
Yep, I'm here. Hello.
And Tammy?
Here.
Trudy. Hey, Trudy? Heather? And Jay?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so I'm still looking for Rochelle Krunick. Selena?
Dave, this is Selena.
Oh, hi, Selena. There we go. And Michelle Kadushin?
I'm here. Michelle is here.
Very good. And Ronaldo?
I'm here.
I'm sorry, she already marked here. I'm sorry. My fault.
Did you hear me?
James, Rowan. Deborah Galley?
Dave.
Yep. I'm sorry, who just said they? Who called my name?
This is Ronaldo. Did you hear me?
Yes, I did. I had you marked correctly already and just read the list wrong.
Okay.
So I got you. So I'm still missing James, though. And Deborah Galley. And Tanya. And Robin. And Trudy. Just beeped in. Who just beeped in?
Tanya.
Oh, Tanya, welcome to class. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
All right. So let's go ahead and get started. We got session 3. And we're going to start here with a quick review from session 2. We talked in session 2 about the high D style. Now, keep in mind, as we review the styles and talk about the S and the C tonight, that there's no such thing as a good or bad style. You may think that there is, but there really is not. And I'm giving you guys, each of you guys tonight, as I have in the past, 2 views of each style. And at their best view and at their worst view. So, again, not necessarily a good or bad style, just different perspectives. So the high D, we said, is active and task-oriented. They tend to be direct, decisive. They want to get things done. They are natural leaders. They will find themselves getting distracted by other tasks that they want to do because they'll be constantly trying to multitask and do several things at once. And by the way, that's also true in a coaching session. You'll be coaching somebody, and you'll find the fact that they're coaching with you and also answering email at the same time. Not a good idea. They tend to overuse the directness and can sometimes put people off. We also talked about how you coach the high D. We said their action orientation is a really positive thing because they're going to want to get things done. But they may be blind to the emotions of others, not see how they're impacting others around them. And they have a tendency to make demands instead of requests, which can lead to challenges at work and at home. We discussed some key questions you want to ask the high D, things like, you know, what are you going to do here? Which is a very question they're going to relate to very easily. But also, how will this impact others? is something that they won't be thinking of necessarily. We also discussed the high I last week. Again, they're active, but they're very people-oriented. They're natural influencers. They're great communicators. Like the D, they are leaders. I's tend to be visionaries as well. Like the D's, are easily distracted, but often distracted by other people. They tend to overuse optimism, and they can talk to people so much that people stop listening to them because they just don't stop talking. So, when you coach the high I, understand that they're going to be optimistic and upbeat, maybe more than they should be. They tend to talk a good game but may not actually take the action that needs to be taken. In response to coaching, they may sometimes give you a very long response that has nothing to do with the question you asked them at all. You're willing to reel them back in sometimes to get them back on track. And they'll have too many number one priorities. Questions you want to ask the high I, what could go wrong here? Because they don't think about what could go wrong. They're very positive. Nothing's going to go wrong. And when can you realistically expect this to complete this? Because, again, they will be overly optimistic. Just a quick review of the high D and high I. So, questions before I go on about the D or the I?
Right. Dave, no questions on D or I. This is Gary. Did you happen to send out the PowerPoint for tonight?
Yes, I did.
I didn't get it.
Gary, you didn't get it?
I've got it. It was with the two audio for the first one.
Mm-hmm. You had the recording links for the sessions, and they attached that was the slides for session 3.
Oh, okay. I'll check that when we're done. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So let's do a really quick quiz. This is a really easy quiz. And all you're going to do is basically shout out your answer. So there are four options here. Which of these animals is most like the high D?
Tyrannosaurus rex.
Pardon me?
Tyrannosaurus rex.
T-Rex, bull.
Oh.
No one's going to go with a soft, cuddly kitten?
Mm-hmm. You.
Or a wet-nosed, lovable puppy?
Nope.
Oh, I was torn on that one.
Why would you choose a Tyrannosaurus rex?
Because Bull in the China Shop wasn't available.
Their arms are too short and they can't get enough done.
Because Bull in the China Shop wasn't available. The best answer I've heard to that question yet. Okay. All right. So you have it in front of you. Which of the four statements came from the high D?
Bull.
Four.
Give me that remote
four.
Before I get you.
Yeah, they tend to be a little direct and demanding. Four. So number four is the correct answer to the quick quiz. I think a little harder to go along, by the way. Mm-hmm. You see that more with the S and the C. So which of the animals was most like the high I?
Yellow lab.
Yellow lab.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yellow lab.
See? Yeah. Number two, the yellow lab, most like the high I. Happy and wagging their tail and a little bit goofy sometimes. All right.
Okay.
And which statement came from the high I?
You are marvelous.
Yeah, three.
You look marvelous. Yeah, that's definitely a high I type statement. And it doesn't mean you really do, but they're going to tell you you look marvelous. So, yeah. All right. So, let's move now into our discussion about the high S behavioral style. And again, like the D and the I, I'm going to give you two perspectives here on the high S. The at their best perspective and the at their worst perspective. Now, keep in mind, if you put a little chart out for DISC, you'll you know that the S is the more thoughtful, reserved behavioral style, but also very people-oriented or accepting. The S stands for steady or stable or secure, and these people are very easy to like because they're very nice people. So at their best, the high S is even-tempered, patient, helpful, and accommodating. You might even say that S stands for salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The high S's are natural followers and they're team players and are willing to pitch in to help get things done. They truly enjoy their small circle of friends that they do everything with. They're relaxed, easygoing, and slow to anger. They're very loyal to friends and the family. They remember birthdays, the names of your spouse, your kids, maybe your anniversary. They really do like things the way they are and don't have much interest in making a lot of big, unnecessary changes. So what's your reaction to the high S initially?
Go along to get along.
Go along to get along. Aren't these like wonderful people?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they sound delightful?
Except.
They are. They are. They're nice people. Let's walk through example here of Holly. Been with her company for 7 years. Before she got out of college. She likes her job and her coworkers. But at the end of the day, she wants to go home, be with her husband and her 3-year-old child. On her desk, you're going to see pictures of her wedding, a family picture, and, of course, the picture of her holding her newborn child. Now, she's been considered for a supervisor's job, and she's pretty sure she can do that. I mean, everyone likes her. They know that she knows they'll do her best for her. All right, so what's her challenge? Well, being a supervisor means dealing with employee problems. And aren't there really bad employees on the team? They got one guy there who has not always been carrying his weight. And she dreads the idea of having to talk to this guy and tell him he's not carrying his weight. That's a big concern for her. That's why she comes to you for coaching and says, you know what, can I deal with the negative side of this? So that's the big challenge of that very nice, very comfortable, high-S personality. So even things that are considered just a little bit off course can make them very concerned about how they're going to be perceived by others. All right? Now, the downside to the high S, at their worst, they can be considered passive, complacent, or even just plain lazy. They have no sense of urgency for their work, and it gets done when it gets done. They really don't like change and will use passive-aggressive behavior to, quote, protect themselves from all these unnecessary changes. And by the way, all change is unnecessary. They are shy to the point of being timid and seldom speak unless spoken to. They hide their feelings, both positive and negative, and then possibly expose themselves to ridicule from others. That's the same high S on the downside we talked about just a minute ago. So what are kind of your general thoughts about the high S?
sometimes you have to wake them up at their desk.
That may be true as well. I mean, to wake them up at their desk. On the downside, yeah, they're not being inclined to start doing things on their own to get things done. Good. What else?
They don't self-manage.
They don't self-manage. They're inclined to stay inactive until you put them into action. Good.
They won't tell you what they're really thinking because they don't want to upset. They don't want to rock the boat. They may have a good idea or a valid reason for not liking something, but they won't tell you.
Yeah, and that's a big challenge because the high S believes you should understand their feelings, but they're not going to tell them to you. I mentioned a little side story here. A couple of years ago, I was doing a group workshop with all different styles. And the people in this workshop, there were probably 30 of them there. And they were all from a church group, and they knew each other. And I did a little exercise to help them understand DISC and broke them down into the four corners based on their behavioral style. And I had a handout for them about which the styles were like, and what their challenges of each one was, and also the strengths. And so one person in the S group timidly raised her hand and said, I've got a big question about what I see on this sheet. Okay, well, what's your question? Well, it says here that we tend to be reserved and hide our emotions. And that's just not true. We show our emotions all the time. We're very emotional people, and people know what we're thinking. And all the high S in the group nod along with her. I said, oh, okay, well, that's really interesting. So you guys all know each other, and many of you guys have spouses in the room. Well, that's the other three groups here. Do you guys know what the high S's are thinking, what their emotions are, what's going on with what they think? And there was a lot of laughter to start with. And then, of course, the high D spoke up first and said, no, we have no idea what they're thinking. Short and direct answer. The high I said, well, you know, we can tell they're upset sometimes. I wonder what they're upset about. And they don't tell us. And that started a long discussion about this emotional issue. And the challenge was the high S thought they communicate their emotions through their looks or body languages, the other groups couldn't read them and didn't know. So they were hiding their emotions and didn't even realize they're hiding their emotions. They thought they were being expressive, and they really weren't. Make sense to you guys? Can you picture that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that high S, again, on the worst side again. We use example of Dan. Dan's been married for almost 10 years. He doesn't really love his wife, but you know, what are you going to do? Each night he comes home for dinner and spends his evening watching television. He doesn't care for the shows he's watching, but hey, you know, that's life. His wife has tried to get him to open up more, but he knows nothing good can come of having that open discussion, so he just stays quiet and says as little as possible. He looks forward to Saturday when he and his golf buddies can get together and play a nice round of golf. He's not that good at golf because he doesn't want to practice that much, but he likes to play with his buddies. So what's Dan's problem? His life is boring but acceptable. Doesn't see any way to change things. In fact, he will tell you he's tried everything already to change things, and nothing seems to work. So he just sits and stews.
Mm-hmm.
Know some folks like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we call them status quo-aholics.
Status quo-aholics? Okay, yeah. Yeah. They will stay in a bad job or bad relationship because the devil they know is better than the devil they don't know. And looking for a new job can be a real hassle. Finding a new mate can be a real hassle. They'll just sit there and be unhappy, but not change. And they'll tell you, I've tried everything already. And they really have tried, in reality, almost nothing. So, there you have the highest behavioral style. So,
just out of curiosity, though, with the high S, you know, if you challenge them on, well, what's the everything you've tried, that's when you're going to start seeing their emotions because they'll get defensive.
That's true. They will get defensive. And they'll talk about the things that they've thought about but not actually done, or things they tried one time and didn't follow through on. Yeah. They're much too willing to give up rather than force their way through something that's not going the way they want it to. So what if you are the high S and you're a coach? So the high S as a coach has some behavioral tendencies as well. And one is they may just listen to the client all the time. They're really good listeners, but not actually coach them. But they'll listen really well. They may not challenge a client to do more than they already have for fear of creating conflict or belief that, well, look how hard they're doing things. They're really trying hard. Therefore, we shouldn't make them do any more, should we? They came to you to get stretched. May not help the client set challenging goals. So they, the client says, I need help. I need to make 5 sales calls a week. You say, well, that's like 1 sales call a day. Why don't you make 5 calls in a day rather than 5 in a week? But a high S, I guess they're going to say, well, 5, that's a pretty good number. Can you really do 5? Maybe I should only do 4. Well, you know, 4 is pretty good. So the idea of setting challenging goals is tough for the high S coach. The client may be anxious to move forward quickly, especially if they're like a high D or a high I client. And the S may actually try to slow them down to try and be more thorough and not rush too much. And may not put enough focus on the tasks and actions the client needs to be successful. So, can a high S be a great coach? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be aware of their natural behavioral tendencies, be aware they need to challenge their clients more, and not be so willing to accept the status quo themselves, for themselves or for the client. Questions about the high S coach? All right. Well, talk about the highest as a client. So, as a client, when they come to you, they have some natural strengths. First of all, they're going to be patient with you as the coach. They'll be realistic. They'll be methodical. They like to cooperate with others to get results. So when you talk about how they can work with, cooperate with others to get results. They like working with teams. So they're going to like work with somebody else to help get things done. That fits them really well. Okay. The blind spot I mentioned before. They don't express their emotions very well. And the biggest challenge is they think they've expressed their emotions, but because they tend to be so subtle about these kind of things, they can be very, very difficult to read. They will look passive. And I say sometimes you can tell they're upset, but you can't figure out why. And you ask them why, they'll give you that age-old line, I think you know what's wrong. We all love that line, don't we? I think you know what's wrong.
As the yellow lab goes, where's the ball? Where's the ball? Where's the ball?
Their passive-aggressive response to change, passive-aggressive, can be a real challenge because they, again, don't necessarily see it that way, but they slow things down, both as a client in a home relationship or at work, by not really accepting the changes and moving forward, but resisting them every step of the way. Okay? How they interact with others. Well, they're going to avoid any kind of confrontation. They'll go to great lengths to avoid confrontation. And they'll even tell you, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then behind your back, they'll be seething. They also tend to put their own needs last, which leads to that whole guilt thing and that whole complex of, you know, no one cares about me. They'll do for others, but not take care of themselves properly, not ask for what they need, not ask for what they need there. So you have a challenge that way. Get them to sit there and step up and say, yeah, what do you need to be successful here? Challenge of coaching the high S. Well, again, they came to you for a reason. They came to you because they supposedly want to change things. But they don't really like the idea of changing. So I want to change, but not really. They also tend to decide things very slowly. So in a coaching session, trying to get them to move into action, and they may list a lot of things they're going to do. I'll do all these things here. Great. What are you going to commit to? Well, I'm not really sure. And they may not complete the actions. Because if they have actions you've assigned them as a coach, they run into resistance, they may just stop right there. So can a high S be a good coaching client? Yeah, they can, but they can be a challenge. You have to make sure you really keep them accountable, hold them to task, and make sure they can agree to things and move forward each and every week. So with a high S, I always want to be the accountability partner. I always ask that question. And if they say, well, I don't really need that, I convince them otherwise. Without an accountability partner, they may not move forward at all. All right, what kind of questions do we ask the high S? Well, the question I like is, how does this make you feel? They'll like that question. The response is going to become kind of slow to come out. You have to peel it back a few layers to get the answers out of them. Because everything's all right up front. What's the opportunity here? Look for change you can make with them that's going to be in a positive way. So look for opportunities. If this goes well, how will this turn out for you? Is that going to be good for you? Yeah. How will this affect you, your family, et cetera? They need to see that the change they're going to make is going to have a positive outcome and influence on those around them and themselves, so they're willing to make the change. What do you need to feel better about this? And the response you may get back may be, oh, I feel fine about this. Yeah, they probably really don't. So be willing to dig deeper. With the high S, the pattern here really is you can't accept the first response. You need to dig deeper. When can you do this? To tie them back down into action items and accountability. And the simple question of what can you do about this? Again, expect a response that says, well, I don't know. I've tried everything already. You'll be their thinking partner to give them some new ideas to get them going. So, questions about the high S.
What motivates them?
The feeling that they're, okay, that's a good question. Go back to Marshawn's original model and the belief that the environment is primarily positive, and it's good because I can't change it, so I'm glad it's primarily positive. So what motivates them is the ability to have to know what's going to happen next, to have the status quo in place, and not have to face a lot of change around them. That's not like motivation much, does it? But that's their perspective on motivation.
So more of a how to make you more secure in this position, environment, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Create.
How to make sure this doesn't go wrong on me. Everything's okay. I like that. They make sure things don't go wrong. If I make these changes, I get that new boss, I get that new job, I get that promotion, I date that new person, my life may not be as good as it is right now, therefore maybe I shouldn't do that. Other comments or questions about the high S? All right. Let's delve into our friends, the high C behavioral style. So like the C is in that thoughtful, reserved category, but they have a different orientation. It's toward tasks or questioning. We call that C correct, controlled, compliant. You might even call them conscientious.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, don't spell conscientious incorrectly. Because if you do, they're going to correct you. And if you do, they're going to hold it against you.
Careful.
You must not be so smart they can't spell conscientious correctly. Yeah. So, again, two views of the high C, a very positive aspect of the high C at their best, and a high C at their worst. So at their best, the high C is accurate, careful, methodical, and is considered reliable by all those who know her. The high C excels at research and can be counted on to dig out the details and do the research to make sure the project is done right each and every time. They believe in following the rules. They dot their I's. They cross their T's. Make sure everything is correct. After all, anything worth doing is worth doing right. They are polite and routinely say please and thank you. They hold the doors for others, and they secretly wish that everyone would be more courteous to each other. Now, they don't believe in showing their emotions because that would just get in the way of making the right and correct decisions. The high C has high standards for themselves, and for everyone around them as well. They don't like sloppy work and will check and double-check everything to make sure it's correct. Know some folks like that?
Intimate.
My boss.
Your boss. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there. You know, a high C as a boss is going to protect you, if you will. You're also going to do the work of them. They're going to double-check all your work, which, by the way, may not make you feel so good. If everything you do, you say, I do it, and you redo it to check my work.
That's so great if they're doing your books.
Sorry?
That's great if they're doing your books.
Good. Well, yeah. High C's tend to make good accountants. They tend to make good lawyers. Now, the kind who are going to argue in court, the kind who do contract review, and all the work that requires you to be persnickety about the details, because they love the details. All right. So here's a little story about Jim. Jim is an accountant. There you go. He loves his job because he knows if the debits equal the credits, that all is right with the world. He works for a small accounting firm, and each month a list of clients that he maintains the books for. So each month those clients send in the bookkeeping to him. He writes their journal entries, reconciles their bank accounts, and creates a profit and loss statement and balance sheet for each client. Jim loves how predictable his job is. For example, he knows that Sam the plumber will always have things on his desk no later than the third business day after the end of each month. But that Dr. Kildare made a phone call or two to get to remind him to get the stuff in for his paperwork. Tax season is always a grind, but in reality, he likes that too. Not the long hours, but finish a tax return and know it's been done well and know it's right. Oh, this makes him happy. All right, so what's his challenge? Well, sometimes his perfectionism gets in the way, and he gets in a situation where he's always kind of like ready, aim, and never quite pull the trigger to fire. So he and his lovely wife have been waiting to buy a home near the school for years, but every house they look at has some kind of problem with it, just not exactly what they need for the home of their dreams.
And their kid graduated.
So, recognize that behavioral style. And Jim will come to you because he needs help making decisions. You can help him that way. He'll want to make checklists. He'll want to make sure everything is correct. I had a client a couple of years ago who was starting a business, and it was not a coaching business, but it was similar in that she was going to be a solopreneur. And she came in because she'd been working on this business for about 9 months and hadn't yet opened the doors, if you will, hadn't yet got her first client on board. And she had another coach before me, and she fired that coach because nothing was getting done. She hired me and said, help me get my business going. All right. So what's holding you back from starting your business? Well, you know, I got to get my website done. It's just, you know, it's almost done, but it's not perfect yet. I'm creating these materials for my clients so they can do their marketing with this, and the materials aren't quite done yet. They're not quite good enough. And she had all the things she was doing that weren't quite good enough yet. I said, all right. So you want to get everything perfect, sounds like. She says, yes, I want things to be perfect before I open the doors to my business. I said, great. You have a target date for that. So target date for what? The day you're going to be perfect. And that stopped her in her tracks, and she went, oh, I will never be perfect, will I? No, you won't. What's good enough? And so we walked through her business to get her open the doors, get clients on board. She was actually a marketing consultant. And it was good enough. And it's okay to be creative in marketing and think of new things. That was okay. Her specialty was writing copy. And she always found exactly the right words to make the copy work together. But you know what? You can make the right words today, make them better tomorrow. That worked out for her. All right. So the high C at their worst. At their worst, the high C is an unbending perfectionist who demands everything be done only one way. their way. They can be rigid and unwilling to compromise over even the smallest things. They want their routine set every single day, and even small variances throw them into a tizzy. They don't have the ability to admit mistakes. They don't have to create elaborate excuses as to why they really were wrong, right, even though they were wrong. They focus on the minutia that may be incorrect to use it to challenge in the overall perspective. So you may have a 40-page proposal in front of them. They'll find some things wrong on page 7 and say, the whole thing's no good because there's problems on page 7. And in their minds, they really believe that. Because the high C is right, they know they're right, and they'll prove to you that they're right, even if they're not. I have an example here from my personal life here, because my business partner I used to work with was a high C. And one day we had a person in our office about some marketing proposals we're putting together. We're talking to the person in the office, and I said, like, okay, so when you get this material together, I said, you want to go to a library, and they have the programs there you can use to pull down businesses in the area that fit this model, and you can begin to put the marketing to them. The person said to me, don't you guys buy lists? No, we don't buy lists anymore because we found them, to say frankly, they were highly inaccurate. And the library's list is much better, I said, and you can pull it by zip code to find out the areas you want to focus in first. My partner said, yep, these lists are much better to the library, but by the way, you can't pull them by zip code. Well, I had done this. I knew you could pull them by zip code. I said, all right, well, yeah, you know, so check with the librarian. She'll help you use this thing, and I think you can check with her, and she'll find a way to help you pull them by zip code. But, you know, partner says, no, you can't pull them by zip code. Oh, well, okay. Well, check with the librarian. She'll help you find out what you need to do. And then the market person said to me, can I get them by zip code? Really, though? That'd be really helpful. Well, I said, well, check with the librarian. If there's a way to do it, she'll know what it is. Now, at this point in time, my business partner turned to her computer, started tapping away. I knew what she was doing. She would log it onto the library website, see if you could pull this data in or not, by zip code. So I kept talking, and for about 10 minutes, she's over there tapping away on her computer while we're discussing business. After about 10 minutes, she stops and says, okay, so I've checked with the library on the website here, and you know what? You actually can pull them by zip code, but only if you do these three things first. If you don't do these three things first, you can't pull them by zip code. So really, you can't pull them unless you do these three things first. So she was saying, I really was right, but there's nobody you can do it that will get you that, but I was still right. Now, if I had not known DISC and known her style, I would have found that very upsetting. I thought that she was trying to make me look bad or prove me wrong. And in reality, it wasn't about me at all. It was about her and her need to be correct. That's what she was really checking for, to make sure she was okay. What about me being wrong? About her and need to be right? Mm. Make sense to you guys? Can you picture this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's a story of, go ahead.
This is Selena. I was just kind of, my thoughts got distracted for a moment, and I was trying to figure out, as you're reading down the list of the high C as a coach, I wasn't able to get caught up, I don't think, fast enough as far as the PowerPoints, what you were saying they were. Do you think you could go through them again just real fast maybe?
For the high C as a coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get that.
No, I'm sorry, as a client.
Oh, as a client?
Yeah.
Well, we'll come to the client here in just a few minutes. We're not quite there yet.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right. So here's a little story about Tiffany, who works in a library. She loves the books. And the fact that everything is filed in a specific order. I mean, she loves Melville Dewey because he invented the Dewey Decimal System that she uses every single day. Of course, if Melville was around now, she could help make him better than it was. She could help him with that. So she loves a lot of sorts today because her daughter had cereal for breakfast and used up the last of the milk. So there's no milk left for her coffee. She knew right then and there was going to be a really bad day. And you know what? She was right. She found three books misfiled, not even before noon. She looked at a job posting online and noticed that the author had misused their, T-H-E-I-R, versus they are. Oh, how could they do that? Why couldn't people get this right? She saw Grace this morning as she was pulling in last night's book returns. Grace checked the books into the system and alphabetized them afterwards. Oh, Tiffany had to put a stop to that because first you alphabetize the books and then you check them in. What's this world coming to? Tiffany, the persnickety high C. All right. So, suppose you're a high C and you're a coach. Well, things you should be watching for as a coach if you're a high C. Well, first of all, the high C can be too focused on details. So they're hearing the story from the client, they focus on the details, and they miss that bigger picture. They also miss the emotional undertones because they're focused on the facts. They also get very caught up in the story itself and miss what's really important. And they focus too much on what's negative aspects of the situation as opposed to what the positives are or what the possibilities are. Their sessions might be too structured, and they themselves may come across as too reserved or too distant and not make a connection with the client. So, can they be successful coaches? Sure they can. As long as they know their tendencies and know what to look for themselves, they can make the adjustments and become very successful coaches. All right. Now, suppose the high C is the client. Well, there are some natural strengths with that as a client. First of all, they're going to think analytically. They will weigh the pros and cons. They're big on that whole Ben Franklin pluses and minuses list type thing. They love those kind of things. They tend to be comprehensive problem solvers, which is good. The blind spots, they don't see themselves. Well, too focused on what's not important, the unimportant minutiae, may get too much attention from them. And if you criticize them about some of their decisions or whatever, they may get defensive when they get criticized because they're used to being right. Now, keep in mind, this does not measure intelligence. So they may think they're right, and they're no place close to being right. They still think they're right. More high C the client. Interaction with others? Well, they again can be overly critical of those around them because they expect perfection from themselves and from others. And by the way, it's their idea of perfection, not necessarily real perfection. They have a reserved nature, so they can appear cool and aloof. Even though in their minds they're thinking about how important things are, they come across as cool and aloof. So, challenge of the coaching the high C, they'll go into analysis paralysis, They will study it and study it and study it. Just need a little more information here. Need to find a few more things out, then I can make a decision. And that can go on for a long, long time. Okay?
Is this
they
the
can put themselves in a box.
Letter?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. The buyer's remorse letter.
Buyer's remorse letters, which is fine with salespeople who deal with high C's, who figure them out, they'll say, if I can answer this last problem for you, what else do you need to make a decision? And you'll see them ask that question, and they'll write down the response. Then they'll solve the problems and say, okay, so you gave me these three things to solve. I've solved those three things. Now we can move forward. Because they wrote those things down, and the high C's had to follow the rules, then they'll make decisions. Their creativity can be hampered by the need to follow the rules. The idea of working outside the box, yeah, that's hard for them because boxes are good. Boxes are protection. And they don't always express themselves and their feelings, so you don't always know what they're thinking that way. So who wants to have a high C client? Oh, deathly silence.
I have a high C boss.
You have a high C boss? Yeah. What's that like? I got some great video I use sometimes that shows some of these behavioral styles. And the high C boss, the employees in the office and the boss is giving them feedback. And then the boss begins to criticize the way they're holding their pen, their penmanship, the way they're laying out their personal notes, and all those kind of things, because the high C has one way to do things, and that's their way.
Admiral Rickover must have been a really, really, really high C.
Who's that?
Admiral Rickover, the father of Navy nuclear power.
Oh, okay.
The stories are that he actually fired somebody for salting his eggs before they tasted them.
Ah, yeah, that was a story. I heard that story about J.C. Penney as well. The original James Cash Penney, who founded the J.C. Penney store company. The story was he'd take people out to lunch every day before he hired them, see if they tasted their food before they salted it. Anyone who salted their food before they tasted it was not paying attention to what really was important, and he wouldn't hire them. Yeah. So.
Yeah, see, the procedures were never wrong. The people were.
There you go. All right. So, questions to ask the high C. What's a realistic outcome? Because they may be looking for perfection. What else do you need to make this decision? I said before, in terms of a sales copy, that's what sales guys do all the time. Because they'll keep coming up with one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. So you try and nail them down. Okay? When will you do this by? When will you complete this task? Because they're going to want to give you a long target date out there to complete it to make sure it gets done exactly right. And that may be too late, what you're coaching them with. How will this impact others? Because they don't think about how it's going to impact others, only it's going to impact them and their need to be right. And then what are the pros and cons? So they love pros and cons lists. So they think in those kind of terms. So asking that kind of question will really help you get a good feel for, help them get a good feel for what decisions to make. All right. Question about the high C in general?
Dave, this is Lena. I don't have a question about the high C in general, but I do have a question.
Sure.
If your style is like a high I and you find out that the client is maybe like a low C, do you tailor how you would normally coach somebody to fit the needs of the client, even if they are different than yours?
Yeah, absolutely I will. What I want to look at with my clients is what are their needs and how can I make sure I best serve them. So whatever my client is, I want to say, okay, so what do they need to be successful? If they're a high C, for example, I need to make them be not quite so focused on the detail and the minutia. Get them to think at a higher level. If they're a high D, need to make sure they take into account the emotions of others as opposed to just getting things done quickly. So I always look at what the client is and say, so where's their gap, what they need from me? Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So here's a little impromptu quiz for you. You've now had a chance to look at and read about the high D, the high I, the high S, and the high C. Ponder this question for a moment here. What do you think my primary style is? Let's do this methodically here. Let's just say here that if you think Dave is primarily a high D, say I. All righty. If you think Dave is primarily a high I, say I.
I.
Yes.
Okay. If you think Dave is primarily a high S, say I.
I.
Now. You think Dave is primarily a high C, say I. Wow. So we had no votes for the D, no votes for the C, had a lot of votes for the I, and a few votes for the S.
Actually, I do think a C.
I'm sorry, say again.
I do think a C is in there.
Think some C is in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
because of
folks,
the details, the training material.
Training material? Yeah. Of course, my partner had material with me as well. She was definitely a high C.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, will you all be shocked to find out that my primary style is a high D?
That makes sense, Dave. But you've been very well coached.
Yes!
You've been so coached, you're more on the S. In the public view.
Yeah, like many people here, I'm a combination of more than one style. Mm-hmm. My high D is the highest of my styles.
Your DI.
And my second is the high C.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So I have no I or very little I and very little S inside of me. I'm primarily the DC, which you'll find out as we go through the next couple of sessions here, it's called the creative behavioral style.
Pattern.
So, but oftentimes people, when I talk to people about my style, they do often view me as a high I. A lot of people think of a high I and high D combination. It's really the D and the C together. And you'll see in a couple sessions here how the style types play together to create unique behaviors and personalities. Questions, comments?
Dave, how often do you retake the quiz to find out whether or not you changed?
I've taken the profile probably 5 times over the course of the last 12 years or so, and my style never changes. Now, here's a good point. Some of you guys have neither know or have heard of Dr. Laura Belston. So you guys, I know, have had her class in emotional intelligence. And one day she and I were talking, and I said to her, do you think someone who's taken a lot of emotional intelligence studies, think that will change their DISC profile or their actual behaviors? And she said, huh, Dave, what do you think my behavioral style is? So anybody here know Dr. Belson? I've had her class. No, a couple of you guys.
Yes, sir. I have.
Yeah. What do you think her primary style is? Because I immediately knew and said, oh, that's obvious. I said, you're a high D. And she said, well, that's exactly right. How did you know? She says, well, you know what? I can still see the directness in which you do, even though I see the temperance and emotional intelligence. And her profile hasn't changed in years either. So it only really changes.
Your hand off.
What's going to change is when you get involved in something where you're acting out of normal character, and that puts that in it creates that graph one variance that you have to worry about, because it says they're not behaving the way they normally would. So can I act like a high I? Sure. It's not necessarily comfortable for me. I can do it. Okay?
But it will change eventually if you used to be one way, but then somehow you've allowed life to change you into this person that you're not, and you slowly get back to the person who you were, then your profile will change.
Yeah, if you move into a position where you are doing something that's different than your normal behavioral style, it'll change that graph one. You'll see a variance there. You know they're uncomfortable. And as their life changes again to get back to normal, you'll see all three graphs line up again. So that core graph, that graph two, really is one of the keys there, because that one doesn't change over time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then going back to like the Johari window, does that changes all of that too? Your arena and your mask and all that good stuff.
Sure. If I'm acting out of in a different behavior than I normally would, what you think you know about me, you may not really know about me. Or you may begin to see the differences I have in my behavioral style and say, oh, I can see now you're behaving differently than you normally would. This is going to be a challenge for you. Therefore, I should accommodate you and those challenges. Yeah.
That's
how it all comes to play together. All right. So was this helpful tonight?
Yes, very much so. Dave, this is Phyllis, and I have a question.
Sure.
About using the DISC with a group, with a team, and then working it together and going through it and interpreting it as a teamwork. Will we get some of that?
Okay. So the class we have here is kind of based on that using DISC in coaching. I will tell you that DISC is a wonderful group and team tool. Also, by the way, a wonderful group and team moneymaker. I'll mention that. It's not part of our agenda here for the six sessions, but what I'm willing to do, because I know that some of you guys have an interest in this, if you'd like to Wednesday night when class comes to an end, I'll stay on the phone for a few minutes extra and talk about how you can use DISC with a group, some tools, things you can do, tools you can use to be effective as a group. How would that be?
Great.
I would appreciate that.
I'd be happy to. So Wednesday night, if you don't want to stick around when class comes in, you can go ahead and leave. Want to hear about using DISC as a group? I'll talk about that for some time after class on Wednesday.
Okay, great.
Right.
Brilliant.
Any last questions or comments?
Dave, after the you've done the training, we have to take an exam. Is that correct?
Yes, there is a – well, no, you don't have to take the exam. If you want to get certified, you have to take the exam.
Okay. Now, as far as using it in our coaching, is that something we purchase through CTA or we have to purchase on our own? How do we do that?
Okay. I'll cover the issue of how to get profiles in session six.
Okay.
There's a couple of different ways to do it that are, depends on how much you're going to use it, if you can use it a lot, use it a little, et cetera. But I'll cover that actually in session number six.
Okay.
And what's the format of the exam?
There are some fill in the blank. There are some check all that apply. There's a couple of multiple guests in there. It takes you about 20 minutes to do the exam probably. And, of course, it's open book, open notes. It's not a hard exam because it doesn't dig real deep into the concepts. But here's the important part, really. It goes not just to the exam, but the next two sessions. The difference between what I'll call an amateur with DISC and a professional with DISC comes down to the issue of how they use the combination and the classical patterns, how the different styles come together. So our next two sessions are going to focus on combination patterns. People who don't use DISC very well, who really kind of muck things up, focus on D, I, S, and C, and not the combinations.
Mm-hmm.
So our next two sessions, mm-hmm. are we focus on the combinations.
Excellent. And the profiles you mentioned,
yeah,
that those, once we become certified, then we'll learn how to be able to get into that and charge people for it, et cetera.
Yep. Yeah, there's also a variety of profiles. The one we're using here in class is the DISC Classic 2.0. I like it because it has the three graphs. It's a great way to learn about DISC. There are some newer ones out there that are available for the business world. There's one about DISC Workplace. There's one about DISC as a management tool. I'll share these things with you before session six. Send you copies of some of these reports. You can see them yourselves. The newer ones focus on a circumplex model, so a circle with a single dot inside of it as opposed to three graphs. For teaching DISC, I like the three graphs. For some of the workshops and things that I do, circumflex model is the better way to do it. So we'll cover that a little bit in session six as well. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Dave, the examples that you gave helped to clarify a lot. With the profiles, do they give a lot of examples like that or any examples?
The profiles themselves, which you're going to see, are you'll see the classical patterns in the back of the profile. They're your own mm-hmm. profiles you have in front of you, actually. We'll be covering those, how they work and why they're important in our next two sessions.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks,
have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys all Wednesday night.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.